Two-thirds of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies like My Date with the President's Daughter
and the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon Podcast. One of Michigan's most lucrative industries is hunting and fishing. But as some of our key agencies change personnel, the endangered species seem to be changing to hunters rather than animals. We have Michigan-based outdoor writer Victor Skinner here to chat about all things hunting. Victor, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, good to be here too.
So you've been working in this industry for years and years, and we were talking before we got on the air about the wolf population. That's something that I wanted to talk about because I think that most people don't deal with wolves, so they don't think about it. But the environmental groups, or I would say, I guess, the animal rights groups are very effective in manipulating the minds of the average person about the wolf population. And I say that because I remember a few years back when there was a question on the ballot of whether or not we should be hunting wolves. And I live in the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. In the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, wolves are a big problem. But I remember these commercials being on of these like puppies, you know, and they would be like, you don't want to kill these wonderful puppies. How could you do this? And it was really effective because I'm like, oh my gosh, how could we kill these? But tell us a little bit about what's going on in the Upper Peninsula with wolves so people truly understand why hunting is so key to making sure that population is under control.
Yeah, I mean, the wolves, they're under federal protections right now. So in Michigan, you can't, you know, if they're attacking your livestock, your pets, or your hunting dogs, or whatever, you can't, there's not really anything you can do about it. And the Michigan DNR, you know, they can't use lethal control methods or anything like that. So you have, the wolf population's just, really strong, and, it's all the way across the UP, and it's, you know, causes issues every year with, hunting dogs and with livestock. And in Michigan, we have reimbursed, you know, farmers if they get, you know, have animals killed by wolves, but we don't reimburse hunting dogs and pets and those kind of things. So we know that it's happening a lot, but we don't really know how much because there's no incentive for, you know, the people that are out in the woods to report this stuff. I mean, a lot of them do, but some of them don't. So, you know, there's...
Well, I think that's an interesting concept that we would reimburse people for their livestock and their dogs and their pets, but instead of taking care of the problem, I mean, who wants to lose their family pet and the state says, oh, we'll give you the value of your pet. What is the value of my pet? And to me, that's very interesting because you have these groups that are supposed animal lovers that are allowing livestock to be killed and people's family pets to be killed because they're concerned about the wolf population. You said something interesting to me earlier that where this may be an endangered species in California, in Michigan, they the population has been very strong. So why is it that we can't, even though there is a federal protection over these wolves, why can't we look at different specific areas and say, if this population is hurting the UP in general, can we at a state level do something differently?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the situation is at the federal level, and that's where they're protected. And, you know, the Fish and Wildlife Service has removed them from federal protection several times. And, you know, animal rights groups and anti-hunting groups have used the courts to put them back under federal jurisdiction. So that, you know, those protections limit what we can do in Michigan. And, you know, some of the legal wrangling over the years is just, you know, spent a lot of time spent on technicalities and stuff like that. And, you know, there's efforts ongoing always to get them off of the list, because in Michigan, they're well over their recovery goals. And, you know, Minnesota, they're well over their recovery goals. In Wisconsin, they're way over their recovery goals, you know. So there's no biological reason to protect them. But, you know, these animal rights groups and anti-hunting groups use the, you know, down to the letter of the law to leverage the courts and keep them protected. So that's where the fight has been, is in the courts, you know. And like you mentioned, you know, in some parts of the state or the United States, they're not, you know, back to where they once were. They're not in every part of the United States where wolves once lived. So, you know, anti-hunting groups use the way the Endangered Species Act is set up to, you know, leverage those technicalities to keep wolves protected in states they don't need to be protected.
Do you feel like in the state of Michigan, though, that there are these groups coming in that are trying to stop hunting altogether? We talked about some of these folks that are getting onto a few of these agencies or trying to become a part of a few of these agencies that have historically been educating people on the importance of hunting and the importance of conservation, and that conservation keeps everything kind of aligned. But Michigan, that has not necessarily been the case, as we have this wolf population that is growing and we have a deer population that is completely, I would say, close to out of control in the state. We're number four in the state for animal collisions with a vehicle. It's over 50,000 deer traffic accidents in a year. We have, I mean, everywhere I go, I see deer on the sides of roads. There seems to be a push to stop hunting altogether. And you were talking about some of these agencies taking on folks that want to have a different method of controlling the animal population. What would that even look like?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, in Michigan, like, you know, every state, we manage animals with hunting and fishing. You know, we fund all of the conservation work through federal excise tax on hunting, fishing equipment and license sales. But there is, you know, a quiet push, I would call it, towards something else, you know, and nobody really knows what that something else might be. But, you know, these sort of groups and these anti-hunting groups and people that don't believe in hunting, they know that hunting's a part of Michigan's heritage. They know that hunting and fishing is part of the culture of Michigan. So they don't necessarily attack it directly. You know, they find ways to undermine and move towards their, you know, which most people think is the goal of no hunting, you know, and but they're smart, you know, and they have a lot of money and patience, and so they work their angles, you know. And in Michigan this year, we've had a couple of bills that were introduced that, you know, one, for example, we have a Michigan Wildlife Council in Michigan, and it's funded through a dollar on each license sale. And the whole purpose of the Wildlife Council is to educate the public on hunting and fishing and how that fits into conservation and how it funds all of our conservation work in Michigan. And, you know, this bill filed by downstate Democrats wants to add people to that council that are advocates for non-consumptive wildlife management, which, you know, I don't think anybody knows what that is. I mean, there's...
But you that know, it
we,
would be
in America and Michigan, hunting. We've managed.
I mean,
managed
essentially,
a,
that's
right. Yep, yeah, right. But in America and in Michigan and North America in general, I mean, that's how we've managed wildlife for ever, is through hunting and fishing.
I think what you're saying is key, because we have been wondering how the culture has changed so quickly over time, whether it is in schools, whether it is with, I mean, even what we're seeing right now with this change of mindset over Israel that we're seeing in colleges, people are saying, how is this happening? How does this happen right under our nose? And I think that this is an interesting example of this, because you're talking about these bills, putting these folks on our essentially an education arm. Does this wildlife organization that you're talking about that hunters are actually funding? Again, I think it's important for us to state that this is coming from a licensing fee. So hunters are the ones funding this education resource that is then going out into the state and educating people. Now they're saying they want to do this with a non-consumptive measure. And these folks that want to use a non-consumptive measure, that's saying that's no hunting at all. So what exactly, who are they educating? And is this going to our youth? And is this going to our next generation? Is this the next thing where we see a bunch of activists rising up and saying, you can't hunt anymore? Because I really think that that's the concern of people across the country. How do these activists start? You said they're well-funded. And that to me is key, because this starts like this, with a small bill, a few people getting on a committee and infiltrating the education of the younger people. Is that what you see? Is this the beginnings of something like that?
I think it's been going on for a long time, you know, and I just think that culture does have a lot to do with it, you know, and culture in schools have changed. And, you know, we used to have hunter safety in schools. I mean, some still do, but I mean, less over the years, you know, as those kind of things go away, then it just makes it easier and easier to kind of chip away at towards, you know, anti-hunting stuff. And, you know, and it's not just in Michigan, it's a national thing. It's, you know, we just had a federal legislation that had to clarify that certain federal funding can be used for shooting sports and can be used for hunter education programs, because the Biden administration had interpreted, you know, laws to say you can't, because they use dangerous weapons and they use a technicality to try to push back on, you know, those kind of programs. So it's all little steps, you know, towards their end goal, which I, you know, they don't always necessarily come out and say, you know, we want to end hunting, but that's the direction, you know, and they are well funded, like I said, because they raise money off of those videos you were talking about, the, you know, wolf pups and stuff.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you, but consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
So when you see those commercials, people, and just in general, if you see this, whether it's on TV, whether it's on Facebook, these groups do raise a lot of money through tugging at the heartstrings of people who go, oh my goodness, how could you do this? And they are very effective. When this was running, this was probably 2010-ish that these commercials were running in Michigan. And it was honestly so effective. And then I had a friend whose husband is working in the DNR, and they were up in the UP. And actually her mom was telling me they're at their wit's end because the wolf population is so bad up there now that he's constantly called to different people's homes because they've had a wolf in the backyard attacking the livestock, all of these things. And it was like, wow, I'd never even considered it. And if you don't live it, how are you educated on the other side? And these groups, these wildlife groups that are supposed to be educating on conservation, should be educating us about this stuff. And now we potentially have these folks. And that's how we talk about big government. We talk about people getting involved in things that they shouldn't be, lobbyists, that kind of stuff. But that's how that happens. This infiltrates into these areas, and the hunters are potentially no longer safe in the state of Michigan. But the crazy part about this is you talk about all the money that goes into these licenses. There is so much money that comes into the state of Michigan because of hunting and fishing, because it is such a big part of not only our culture, but our economy. It could actually be a much bigger part of our economy. There have been a lot of folks who have said, you know, if you look at other states, they're bringing in a massive amount of money on hunting because they auction off licenses for elk, for bear. That's something that we could do in the state of Michigan that we don't do. You even talked about the UP hunters now not wanting to go into the UP because they don't want to deal with the wolf population up there. So now we have a concentrated amount of hunters in the northern Michigan, in the upper or in the lower peninsula, but northern Michigan area. How is this impacting the economy, and what could it do to the economy if we suddenly slip away from hunting? And I think that the way they want to do this is to stop the next generation. It's not necessarily to stop the hunters now, but stop the next generation from hunting. And then what does that do to not only the population of the animals, but to the economy?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar industry in Michigan, hunting and fishing. And, you know, the whole premise of the anti-hunting and to turn people away from hunting, and these, you know, the wolf pup videos and those kind of things is based on people being ignorant about how we manage animals, you know. So they see a initiative designed to educate people about the way it works as a threat, you know. And so that's why you see bills that look to put people, you know, to neutralize that threat. They want to put people on these boards that advocate, you know, something completely different than the way it works. And that's where it's coming from, you know. And you raise some important things, you know, the wolf problem in the UP. It's not just, you know, one guy lost a hunting dog or something. It's, you know, wolves roaming through the middle of downtown. It's, you know, people scared to let their kids out in the backyard to play. It's, you know, people losing their pets, you know, like we talked about. And then there's other cascading effects, you know. So now, you know, I talk to these bear hunters every year, and, you know, every year they're saying the wolves are worse. The wolves are getting worse. This is the worst I've ever seen, you know, and the next year, this is the worst I've ever seen. So, you know, a lot of them just won't even go to the Upper Peninsula now. So they're coming, and there's more bear hunters hunting the Northern Lower Peninsula, and that, you know, rankles other bear hunters that's where they hunt, you know. So their hunting spots are public land is getting, you know, busier and busier. And so it has a cascading effect beyond just local people in the UP. And the anti-hunting groups, you know, they know that a lot of the people in Michigan live in the Lower Peninsula. They know a lot of people, the bulk part of our population is, you know, around metropolitan areas. So, and they know that those people don't understand wildlife management. So that's why those videos are effective. That's why they can leverage that for anti-hunting reasons, you know. And it's going to have a big impact on our economy, on a lot of things, you know.
I will say it's very interesting to me because we struggled to get hunters to go out and vote. And for example, the Traverse City area, which is northern Michigan, that area went blue for the state rep for the first time in years. And it was shocking to us because in that area, it went blue. There were about 800 votes that won that for Democrats for the state rep. And in that area, you have 2,300 folks who are registered to hunt, but not registered to vote. And yet these decisions are being made. I think to me, it's very key because right now we're looking at something that we don't know what the future is of the DNR right now, because Whitmer came out in her first term and she put somebody in there as DNR director that people felt, okay, this is someone that comes from the conservation background. This is someone who we can trust, who is going to be an ally. And I think that was kind of a false sense of security for the first 4 years, because she's obviously made it clear that she's got whatever climate goals are to her, but she has climate goals. And we know that can sometimes extend into this area of hunting and making sure that you let all of these animal advocates in. But she also has strong anti-gun rules as well. She wants to make sure that this state is anti-gun. That hurts hunters. And you said earlier, all of these things that hunters are buying, there are taxes. When you talk about the amount of money that comes into the state, that's coming in on bullets, that's coming in on weapons. All of these things are bringing money into the state. But she is very much anti-gun, pro-environment. And that is sometimes, whether or not we're saying pro-environment, pro-environment to some people is not hunting. And so we just see that she appointed a new DNR director, the Scott Bowen. The interesting thing, I tried to find out information about this guy because I wanted to talk to you about him, but he's like, there's no information. He's been for a couple decades, he's been the Michigan Lottery Commissioner and director of the Michigan Lottery. But he doesn't even, when he talks about being appointed to this position of DNR director, he's like, you know, I've got great experience leading agencies. Never once does he say he's a hunter or that he understands the outdoors or that he understands the importance of this industry to the state of Michigan. He talks about being a guy that manages agencies. Is this scary to the hunters out there that they don't know anything about this Scott Bowen who was appointed by Gretchen Whitmer?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that they don't know what to make of the guy, you know, and, you know, the folks that I've talked to, the leaders of these conservation groups and stuff, they don't know who he is. So, I mean, that tells you something right there. If there's somebody that's been involved in, you know, Michigan outdoor policy for four decades and they have no idea who this guy is, then, I mean, that he's obviously not engaged with you know, the outdoor community, the conservation groups and, you know, the people that are involved in the day-to-day work in Michigan to manage animals. So, I mean, they don't know anything about the guy, and they are kind of, the people I've talked to are in kind of a wait and see sort of mentality. I mean, they're optimistic, you know, but they don't know one way or another. They had somebody there that was a leader from, you know, Michigan United Conservation Clubs that was leading the DNR. And so that was a good sign, you know, but he's gone now, and they had an interim director that was from the DNR that, you know, the conservation community knew really well, and she did a great job, and she's still involved, but they don't know anything about.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. Folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is, quote, worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Or other devices like an electric blanket, microwave, RV, air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets, so you can power more devices at once, and 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
You talked about the education that the other side is doing. There's a massive amount of money coming in to educate people on, you know, not hunting, why you shouldn't hunt. But I would say that our side has been a little remiss in educating on why we do this. And I'm saying that not from the state agency standpoint. I'm saying just getting the overall message out, whether it is bringing money in for ads or, I mean, we had Ted Nugent on, and he was talking about all these different rules in Michigan that I had no idea about. But when you hear it from him, you're like, wow, that really doesn't make sense. Why aren't we doing a better job of getting this message out? And you really question whether or not that's going to happen with a new DNR director that comes from Gretchen Whitmer, who clearly wants to eliminate guns in the state of Michigan. And we know what that means. That means she wants to get rid of hunting in the state of Michigan. Before I let you go, I have to ask you one more thing, because I have noticed that there are a massive amount of deer in our area, and I'm on the west side of Michigan. We actually, a few years ago, had sharpshooters come in to get rid of the deer. Rather than hunters, they brought in like government people to come in with that were sharpshooters, get rid of these deer. Then people aren't eating the deer. The deer aren't going to the shelters or anything like that. What is the point of getting to the place, not refusing to give out enough licenses to hunters to reduce the herd, but then having to bring in sharpshooters to get rid of these deer? I mean, why would that ever happen? That seems like a complete blunder of government.
That's a good question. I mean, a lot of times that boils down to the local leaders of some of these places, you know, and that's a good question. And I've asked that question before several times, you know, why they don't leverage hunters more for these kind of problems. And I think part of it, and at least like around where we are is having hunters, in more suburban areas makes people nervous, you know, because they don't know, you know, who the people are, and they
right.
feel more comfortable with having a so-called professional take the deer out, you know. But it's the reality is you know, there's people that hunt every day all across, or not every day, but I mean during the season all across Michigan that bow hunt, and you know, that's a really effective way to get deer, and it's not like your bullet's gonna go. So there's, my point is there's ways to do it. There's smart ways to do it that they could save a lot of tax money by not paying, you know, sharpshooters. But it's a lot of these places, I think they just wait until the problem's too big. And, you know, then they're scrambling to figure out a solution.
And just for people to understand how big of a part of Michigan culture this is, when I moved up here 20 years ago, we moved up here because we bought a family foundry, and the foundry had a lot of men who were hunters and a lot of families that worked in the foundry. And when we moved up here, it was funny because I came from the suburbs of Chicago. So honestly, I'll be honest, I didn't grow up with a lot of people who were big hunters. And when we moved up here, they were like, yeah, on the first day of hunting season, you might as well close down. We're like, what do you mean? They said, well, nobody's going to come to work. I mean, that's just a fact. This is like a holiday in the state of Michigan. And it really, I mean, the factory just cleared out, you know, everybody's like, hey, it's the first day hunting season, we're out of here. And it was, it truly is a part of their culture, a part of their families, a part of what they've grown up with. And that is being threatened from all different areas. I do believe that it's getting into our schools, that they're teaching our young people that hunting is bad. They're trying to stop it from other directions in government. And that's why I think it's so important that we fight back against this, not only for the culture part of it, but just the safety factor. I mean, at what point does a wolf attack a human? Does a bear start attacking humans that people go, oh, shoot, I guess we actually should have stopped this? Or, and not even, it doesn't even take an attack. I mean, we had a friend that lost a family member a few years back because of hitting a deer. Hitting a deer in your car is extraordinarily dangerous as well. This is irresponsible for people to say you should stop hunting. I'll say one more thing. Sarah, can you hand that to me? Because I have to read it. So last year, this is how the other side works. Last year, I posted this because I thought it was funny. It was just something someone else had posted, and I posted this on Twitter because I think I think we are still allowed to have a sense of humor, but some people don't. So it says, the longer I live in a blue state, the more I understand why the deer here throw themselves in front of our cars. It's like, because obviously people, well, the comments that I got on this were like so ridiculous. And it had like 1700 quote tweets because people were just crazy. They're like, oh my gosh, how can you make fun of suicide? And you're such a horrible person. I'm like, it was a joke, people. I don't really believe that the deer are committing suicide, but with these last bills that they've passed in the past week here in the state of Michigan, it could be possible that the deer are at least trying to get away from them. So hopefully everything will change with hunting in the state of Michigan, but we are blessed to have Victor Skinner out there reporting all the time on what's going on and making sure we're aware. And maybe we need to just put a little bit more money into education on our side. But Victor, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Tudor.
And thank you for joining us on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. For this episode and others, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there or head over to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Have a blessed day. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.